ready for your host. Here she goes.
Welcome to Diary of a Botox Bitch podcast.
Oh man, can't get enough of your voice. Keep on talking.
It's Dr. Botox coming to you live from downtown Beverly Hills. You're listening to my podcast, Diary of a Botox Bitch. And yes, they call me Dr. Botox because I'm an Irish Botox doctor and Irish reality TV star. I did The Real Housewives of Ireland, which is a lot like The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but less money, like a lot less money. Today, we're going to talk about Ireland a little bit. There is a presidency coming up in Ireland. And you might say, what in God's name has this got to do with a Botox doctor, reality TV star from The Real Housewives of Ireland? I also did Celebrity Big Brother in the UK. Celebrity Big Brother in the UK is a lot like, well, it's a lot like Big Brother, but a lot less celebrity. What has politics got to do with anything? Well, firstly, yesterday we had the President of America visiting here in Los Angeles. So that was very exciting. There was helicopters all above me and flying all around in formation. There was also trucks with soldiers all standing on the side, like a SWAT team almost standing on the side, driving around. So I presume he was staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel, as that's where they were all based at. So the other thing as well is I'm actually the great grandniece of Michael Collins. Michael Collins is arguably one of the most influential men in Irish history. He was President of Ireland and he was the person who orchestrated the 1916 Rising and was hugely important and a force to be reckoned with. Tall guy, they used to call him Big Mick. Anyway, I'm the great grandniece of Michael Collins. Like I said, arguably one of the most influential men in Irish history. So I'm basically an Irish Kennedy. I live in Los Angeles. Here's the deal. There is a presidency coming up in Ireland. So in Ireland, currently there is a coalition government, which means it's so ridiculous. It would be almost as if they can't decide who's going to be government. So it would almost be like a 4-year term is going to be half the Republicans and half the Democrats. It's insane. I get it. It's so ridiculous. Except we've had those all our lives, so we don't really know any better. So currently there is the Taoiseach, which is a Gaelic name. And the Taoiseach really is more like the Prime Minister. And then the actual President of Ireland is, it's still the President of Ireland. It's just set up a little bit different. But anyway, for all intents and purposes, there is an Irish presidency coming up. Typically the term is 7 years and you can do a total of 2 years. Sorry, you could do a total of 2 terms. I beg your pardon. So the current President of Ireland, Michael D. Higgins, has been a great supporter of the arts. He's a lovely dog and he's a sweet old guy. You know, it's cute. But right now, Ireland needs some leadership. It needs some leadership. There are rumours that the next Taoiseach is going to be female and they also want a female president, which makes sense because women get shit done, right? So here's the deal. Because I'm politically connected and I come from a big political family, even though I have run off to Hollywood, I do a lot of stand-up comedy and I also have all my different skincare brands. I always keep an eye on Dublin and in Ireland, obviously, what happens, and I talk to family and friends daily. Here's the thing. At the moment now, there is a bit of a conundrum because there's all sorts of people's names coming into the pot of who might run for president. I was approached a couple of years ago by Fine Gael and they were talking about me going to the Shannon. I was looking at them as if they had 50 heads. The Shannon is kind of like the pre-president thing. Anyway, I'm a law unto myself. I'm not corruptible. I don't take brown envelopes. I will call people out on their bullshit. I'm known extremely well for dealing in the currency of truth, authenticity. Even when I'm selling my skincare, we're just doing skincare lives. And I'm like, look, if there's another brand that's a similar price point for the hyaluronic and you prefer the founder's story and you prefer the branding, sure, buy that one. Because I'm not going to be like, oh, this is the number one skincare. In my category, is my hyaluronic the number one? Probably in the top three. I'm not going to lie. There's probably not much difference at that particular price point. Don't obviously get a $20 hyaluronic. But if you're up at the $200 mark, you know, there's not much difference. Like I said, if there's another founder and you prefer their story and their branding, honestly, I won't be offended. Just get, you know, there's not much in it. So I deal in the currency of truth. I did The Real Housewives of Ireland. I was the one who called out all their bullshit. I literally have a low tolerance for bullshit, a low tolerance for lies. Politicians look very unhealthy in general. They're not getting up at 5 a.m. and doing workouts. They don't even need to be doing big runs or anything. A little bit of Bikram yoga, a little bit of Pilates and the reformer would go a long way. I just don't understand how they're all around dull air and having these big lunches. There's often big boozy lunches. How anything's getting done, I don't know. And they're not even trying to hide the fact that nothing's getting done. The reality is Ireland at the moment is in a bit of a mess. So your home girl is over in Los Angeles. I'm watching from over here and I'm considering at this point in time, if someone doesn't step up and there aren't some grown-ups involved, I might, honestly, I'm going to let you know, I might all just run for president myself. It won't take me 7 years. I would probably get it all sorted out in about 8 months. It's like when you buy a company, you break it down, you sell off bits, you chop it up and you fix it. It's not that difficult. Ireland is not that huge. It's not like America where there's 52 states. It's almost like 52 different countries. You have federal laws, you have state laws. It's very complicated. Ireland also doesn't have a huge amount of diversity particularly. It's kind of simple. Like it's Irish Catholic Ireland for the most part. That being said, I do believe that the church and government should have been separated many years ago. I think England actually were quite fortunate in that Henry VIII fell out with the Catholic Church. So that was actually such a blessing. Ireland has been, for years, there's generational trauma in Ireland due to the Catholic Church, due to England invading Ireland more times than Kim Kardashian has launched panty lines. And quite frankly, the whole Northern Ireland issue is also another problem, but it's quite simply solved as well. I feel like we should, the West Brits that are up in Northern Ireland, we should just simply ship them back, help with the relocation costs. Now, I don't mean like a $20,000 allowance like they would if someone's taking an Amazon job and they're moving from Seattle to Los Angeles. I mean, we'll help relocate them insofar as, you know, we'll get them a ferry ticket and they can go back to the mainland England. Let's give them a meal on their way. Give them a hang and cheese sandwich. Do you know what I mean? A packet of potato crisps while stocks last. Obviously, don't give them the cheese and onion because that's the best flavour. Give them a little bit of salt and vinegar. But honestly, I don't know why they're up there bitching and moaning. Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, can't really be taking on Northern Ireland because literally they're mostly civil servants and they don't have a huge work ethic from, you know, that's the reality of them. There's a lot of civil servants. And there's obviously there's a lot of healing to be done in Northern Ireland as well. And Great Britain doesn't want Northern Ireland either. That's the thing. The Republic of Ireland doesn't really technically want Northern Ireland. We do want a united Ireland, of course, but technically from a fiscal and financial point of view, it's quite difficult to reunite Northern Ireland. Also, the English who invaded Ireland in the first place, who caused the split, what infuriates me is the fact that they're all like, is that Southern Ireland? No, there is no such thing as fucking Southern Ireland, so shut the fuck up. Like, if you're going to invade a country, divide a country, it's called Northern Ireland because it's six counties up in north of Ireland. It doesn't mean the rest of the country is called Southern Ireland or Southern Ireland. No, it's called the Republic of Ireland. And to be quite honest with you, the hint should be in the name. It's called the fucking Republic of Ireland. Honestly, what a load of fuckwits. They've taken over the country, they split the country, and then they can't even get it right. They call it Southern, is that Southern Ireland or Northern Ireland? There's no such fucking thing as Southern Ireland, so shut the fuck up. Also, as well, if I was going to be president of Ireland, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to be wearing any British designers. It's not a big deal. They have some great designers, but I would actually boycott promoting British clothing designers. I feel like there's a lot of talk about who's going to be president of Ireland. And honestly, if there's any more ridiculous people put forward, I'm actually going to come back and be president of Ireland myself. And don't come at me being like, what do you mean president? I'm the great grandniece of Michael Collins. Two words, political pedigree. Two words, political pedigree. And to be quite honest, I wouldn't even need the 7 years. I'd have it all sorted out in about 8. There's three main problems. The first problem is the housing problem. Not really a problem because there's loads of land. So that's stupid. It's different in a situation where you don't have enough land. There's just a load of people blocking the planning permission. There's a lot of brown envelopes going around. I don't do very well with corrupt people, so that wouldn't be very difficult to sort out. Also, the other major problem is the unpapered people coming to Ireland. So we don't have any problem taking in women and children from refugees and from war areas, but you can't continue. Ireland is so naive. We're going to open our arms to everybody. Shut the fuck up. You can't take everybody in the country. We have different moral compasses. This is proven recently by the situation we had 2 weeks ago where a man waited outside a school and stabbed three children. Clearly, we have different moral values to that person. Clearly, there is a certain value. In Ireland, I feel like as a country, we have such a huge value on life and every life counts. And that kindness is sometimes mistaken for weakness insofar as there are many criminals coming to the country currently through the guise of refugee, which is complete bullshit. Also, I feel like Ireland has such a high value on every human life. Like I've never seen anything like it. In fact, I didn't realise how wonderful it was growing up in Ireland with that value on human life until I came to America. Not to take away from America at all, because I love America, but also you'll see somebody having a breakdown at the side of the road and they are, if that was happening in Ireland and there was a mental health problem, or there's a lot of homeless people here who have mental health problems. If that was happening, you'd have your Auntie Mary ringing your Auntie Betty and they'd be like, look, we'll get the person picked up and taken away and minded. Here I find myself just walking by people going, God bless them, because there's just not the same value in life. So in Ireland, there's such a huge value in every life. But to the point where they're now taking every single person to the country, that is no longer viable in 2023, 2024, 2025 Ireland. It's not possible anymore. There's people coming from different places that have a different value on life. They don't share the same moral compass that we do in Ireland. They don't share the same values that we do. So you can't be letting everybody in. Those days are gone. That naivety, bless, it's over. It's a wrap, okay? So also what's happening is there's a lot of career criminals coming into Ireland from certain Eastern European countries. And I've said this before as well. Europe is funny. When I go back to Ireland, I used to say, I'm going back to Ireland. Now I just go, I was in Europe, because America sees Europe, Ireland, England, France, Spain, everything is Europe. It's very, we're going back to Europe, we're going to Europe, and they see it as something like that. And I mean, growing up in Ireland, I speak French, I spent a lot of time in mainland Europe. So I do see myself as quite European sometimes. But also, there's a big difference between Ireland and England. England's not even in the European Union anymore. How's Brexit going for you, England? Fabulous. So here's the deal. You've got mainland Europe, which is, you know, France, Germany, Italy, Spain. And again, the Italians share a lot that we have in common with the Irish, the Spanish as well. Very family orientated, you know, their work to play as opposed to the other way around. But here's the thing. Then there's Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe is nothing like mainland Europe. Eastern Europe, you've got the Romanian countries, you've got the hardcore Cold War countries. They're not like mainland Europe. And then Ireland is even more about human beings than even mainland Europe. You can't just go, oh, Eastern Europe, mainland Europe, Ireland. Like, they're not all the same. I've been to those countries. I went to one of the countries. We were looking at setting up dental clinics there years ago. And the level of poverty is just, you know, it's next level. The same value is not on life. The same, it's on surviving. So life becomes cheap. And when life becomes cheap, and you've put people who see life as cheap, who see life as dispensable, with people who have a high moral compass and a high value on every life like the Irish do, it doesn't work. We've seen this 2 weeks ago with the stabbing of the young children. The other thing as well is because Ireland has such a high value on life, they seem to be very much, let's take everybody in. That needs to stop now. That can't continue to happen. Then the other thing is that, because it's 2023, it's not the same as 20 years ago where, you know, we're now having serious crime levels in Dublin. The Irish police don't have guns. There's serious problems going on. And this is also not the time for a cute little short elderly man with a nice dog. You know, Ireland requires some serious fucking leadership right now. It requires some badass leadership and some people who are not afraid to call out people. And the only person I know who's like that is myself. Everyone else is so busy worrying about what everyone else thinks and going with the flow. And the politicians, I'm just looking at them going, bless their hearts, they literally don't know what they're doing. How can they possibly take care of a country when they can't even take care of themselves? They're all drinking too much. They're overeating. They're eating at lunchtime, big lunches. I just don't understand it. Also, we have a problem in that there are different groups who are now getting seats in the Oireachtas, which is and in Parliament, because of socioeconomic problems, and certain groups who would never have been considered 20 years ago for a seat in Parliament are now being considered because they come in promising they're going to deal with the housing crisis, etc., etc. So people are voting for them. People who can't remember what those particular parties who had links to paramilitary 20 years ago were doing. So there's a real problem in Ireland across the board. There's also a real issue. I was there recently and I noticed there's a lot of what I would call, and there's nothing wrong with having black rims on your vehicle. I always have cool rims on my car, but tinted out windows and these blacked up, zooped up cars and stuff. And there's Eastern European gangs in Ireland, in Dublin. They're running, they're not, you know, they're claiming asylum. They're not getting asylum at all. They're just career criminals who have used the whole tunnel, the, you know, asylum seekers to get into Ireland. They don't have any business being in Ireland. They don't have any business getting citizenship. The other problem as well is people complain about not enough people willing to do work. It's a very simple solution. Huge amount of Brazilian people in Ireland, they come on a visa. Have you ever, ever, ever met a Brazilian person that hasn't got a kind heart? Brazilian people are literally like the Irish brothers and sisters. Like, it's uncanny, the moral compass, the get-togethers, the kindness, the friendships, the kinships. Honestly, Brazilian people and Irish people, I think, are more alike than I always used to think that Italians and Irish are very alike, and they are for sure. And I know when I meet any East Coast Italians, I get on like a house on fire. But I'm telling you, Brazilians and Irish are literally like first cousins, if not brother and sister. So I don't understand why we have all these wonderful, gorgeous Brazilian people in Ireland who are willing to work, who work hard. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, but was it not a Brazilian man who got off his moped or his motorbike 2 weeks ago and launched at the man and actually saved the children's lives and stopped any further detrimental injuries to the people? It was a Brazilian man who saved the Irish citizens. So that alone, that man should definitely get citizenship. But also every Brazilian should get. I've never met a mean Brazilian. I've never met an unkind Brazilian. The Brazilians share our moral compass. Then if you fast forward to other parts of Eastern Europe, they do not share our moral compass. There are certain countries as well that literally they're genetically modified to, they don't know any better than to be, because the poverty was such growing up, they don't know any better than to be scamming and causing crime. I was on the Dart recently and someone put a tissue in me. Then it was the funniest thing I ever saw. And then started telling me I owed them money. I said, good luck. So as soon as I got off the Dart station, sure, I had Irish Town pick them up. I've no time for this bullshit. Like, honestly, it's ridiculous. And all these people who are afraid to speak up, it's uncanny, to be honest with you. Also, as well, there's certain countries as well where there's a lot of people coming in who have bad energy around them, you know, I think everyone knows where I'm coming from. Again, I don't know why they're getting citizenship, when literally certain countries are so genetically modified to scam that I don't know why we have given them citizenship. They have no moral compass the same as us. They've nothing in common. They're just opportunistic. Sure, half of them come into Ireland. They're on the dole, which is like the benefits. And then they're back and forth. I honestly have never. There's certain countries where honestly I would be afraid to let them near anything. I would just even be afraid to have anything to do with them. They're just complete scammers. They're complete trouble from the start to finish. I don't understand why we are giving citizenship to certain Eastern European country individuals and why we're not giving citizenship to Brazilian people. Brazilian people have never caused any trouble to anyone ever in the world in all the history of time. So why are we making it so difficult for Brazilian people to get citizenship? Yet, because they are Eastern Europe, which gives a certain connotation that they might have something in common with us when they don't have anything in common with us, honestly. They would steal the toilet brush out of your toilet, a used dirty toilet brush. They're just complete scammers. And again, no time for them, no time for organised crime, no time for these channels of, you know, career criminals finding their way into Ireland, then going on the dole. The taxpayers are using this. It's naive, this whole thing. And people are afraid to say anything now in case it's deemed, you know, racist or anything else like that. Listen, it's very simple. Certain people, like the Brazilians, have a huge amount in common with us. They have a huge alliance with us. They're literally like our cousins. There's other people from other countries who literally are genetically modified to scam and steal, and that's all they do. And we're giving them citizenship. They don't have the same value on life at all. I don't know why they're getting allowed into the country. People are saying, oh, well, give them a chance, and then if they mess up, throw them out. No, just don't let them in the first place. Stop it. Don't let them in. They have to be Garda vetted. There's 242 males who've come in through the guise of asylum seekers, who are undocumented males who have a history of all sorts of crimes back in their own country. They've no business being in Ireland. It's insane. I've seen the Facebook posts of these guys grabbing girls, Irish girls, outside nightclubs in Kilkenny and in, you know, they don't have the same moral compass as us. Get your hands off our girls. Stay out of our country. Go back to where you came from. You're not welcome here. 5 years ago would have been an unpopular opinion. And again, me 5 years ago, I wouldn't have even thought about it. Possibly it's because I've been in the US for a long time and I realise you can't have open borders and let every Tom, you know, Mick and Harry in that's a bad one, actually, poor Harry. But you can't let every single person who wants to come in because they need to be Garda vetted. Why are people allowed? And again, this open borders. Eastern Europe doesn't have an open border with Ireland and mainland France, etc. They may physically have borders, they're bordering countries. But Ireland is under no obligation to take in people, for example, from Romania. We have no alliance with them. There's no, you know, from France, yes, Italy, it's part of the European Union. Of course, yeah, there's free movement, I get it, and free movement of trade. Not enough, if you ask me, because we're trying to send product from Los Angeles back to Ireland. And customs, they're navigable. But again, it's not that easy. I think people who are bringing stuff in from abroad in customs in Ireland are having trouble. They're getting huge customs and excise duties. And again, it's just not very open for free trade. So I get it. So I don't see why people can move around Europe and then they're being so difficult with customs and excise. But that's a story for another day. What I will say is this. I do believe that there is a situation where Ireland needs to very carefully vet the people they are giving citizenship to. There's some people I know who just really shouldn't have citizenship, honestly. And also as well, at the moment, there's a whole debate going on about the certain people who are coming forward for opting for president of Ireland. And honestly, unless that gets sorted out, I have a good mind myself to come back and be president. Because honestly, you need someone who's intelligent, you need a battle axe, you need a boss bitch or a boss person. And I know the next president is going to be female anyway. So if you're a guy, they're not going to have a male president of Ireland next. They're just not going to do it. It's going to be very much female Taoiseach, and it's going to be a female president of Ireland as well. But you need a bad bitch. Like these soft people and these people. No, you need a bad bitch who works 16 hours a day, who gets shit done. That's what Ireland needs. So I don't know if you know anyone, but honestly, I mean, I'm very settled here. I have my skincare brands and I'm committed to certain TV shows next year. And also I do a lot of stand-up comedy here. So, but again, I'm not joking. I ain't playing with this. I'm being deadly serious. Ireland has three major problems at the moment. Number one is the housing crisis. Number two is the undocumented males coming in from Eastern Europe under the guise. They're career criminals. And I'm not just talking about petty thieves. I'm talking sexual offenders, everything. They're all landing into Ireland. Doors are open. Oh, sure, come on in here, have a cup of tea. No, 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 enough. No, no mass, no more. Those days are gone. It's naive. And they're also taking the kindness of Ireland and they're mistaking it for weakness. Ireland has been weak right now. You can see the discrepancies. You can see the amount of crime in the city centre. You can also see from just the discrepancy in you know, we had another God bless. I mean, the thought of this, we had Aisling murdered again, by somebody who doesn't share our moral compass, Ireland has a huge value on life. There's two problems with this. One, there's other people who don't share our moral value with life. Secondly, because we've such a high value on every single life, we're going out of our way to save every life. We can't save everyone. You have to put your oxygen mask on first, Ireland. And this idea of letting people come in from Eastern Europe and all over the place and war zones when they would have no business being in Ireland and wouldn't have any access to be in Ireland if it wasn't for a refugee status. And again, we were meant to take in women and children. We weren't meant to take in 34-year-old undocumented career criminals who are going around outside the nightclubs in Kilkenny and Athlone grabbing Irish girls and trying to touch them up. I wouldn't have fucking thought so. And the idea as well that, oh, give them a chance and see how they go. No, no, no. Don't let them in the first place. What are we doing letting everybody in? It's not an open. You can't have, there's enough criminals in Ireland. The justice system in Ireland as it stands is an absolute fucking disgrace. The police couldn't catch COVID. There are a huge amount of sexual offenders in Ireland who are not on the sexual offender list. And they should be. There's also a problem as well is that they didn't take DNA off certain people. So certain people got out, you know, 10, 12, 15 years ago, and they were let off without having their DNA documented. So if other crime scenes turn up or if a body turns up, they have no DNA to match. It's insanity to me. It's literally insane. I had to explain recently to a member of An Garda Síochána the fact that DNA chromosomes are shared. There's also a very well-known criminal in Ireland whose first cousin is also a similar offender. In fact, there's three cousins in the same family. And again, there's no comprehension of the fact that the DNA is shared and there's certain chromosomes. There's just no capacity for, they don't seem to understand any of this. I mean, you could just watch two episodes of Law and Order Special Victims Unit and you'd be up to date on this. But again, the justice system in Ireland and the judicial system needs a serious reform. And as well as that, a lot of the judges I feel like need to be investigated. I do not understand how these judges are giving these lenient, highly lenient sentences to serious sex offenders who should, quite frankly, once they went inside, they should never have been let out to see the light of day again. It's bizarre to me. And also the lack of, there's no actual, do you know, it's funny that in Ireland, there's nobody who actually can profile these people. It's just interesting to me. There's nobody can profile these people. So Ireland has never particularly had the same amount of serial killers, obviously, that America's had, but they certainly have serial killers, but no one's profiled these people. So there's an inability to catch them if you don't know what you're looking for. Plus, let's be honest here, and I don't mean to be funny, and the next time I'm home, you can stop me if you want. There's some badass detectives in Dublin, for sure. But what they do is the really good ones, they tend to then move them down the country and will give them their own station. So the talent that ends up being really good detectives, they then just, typically, most of the police as well, no one's going to Trinity with a first class honours degree in BEST going, I'm going to join the police force in Ireland. No, it's nice Bernard from Athlone who's going to come up to the big smoke. And again, probably very clever and gets very good very quickly. But also what they're doing as well is the guys who are moving up the ranks as detectives, then they'll get their own sergeant and they'll end up in their own police, you know, department or their own police station, but they'll put them back down the country dealing with Tulsa or something ridiculous and redundant. So it's just, it's very frustrating to look at the Annie McCarry case, the loss of evidence, the fact that they won't actually, like, if you look at that, all the women went missing in July. Like, there's just basic patterns here. Again, they just seem to have missed the ball on all of this. I know Annie McCarry went missing in March, but other people, like, went missing in July. And again, so then you have to say, okay, the person who did this either their wife was away in July or they had access to a holiday home in July that they could, you know, I don't mean to say this, but kidnap and hold people there. Anyway, that's a horrible subject to end on. So I don't want to end on that. But the point being, the judicial system in Ireland needs a serious overhaul. I think a lot of the judges need to be investigated. I don't understand why they're giving these lenient sentences. It's very bizarre to me. There's two or three judges, I won't name them for legal reasons, but they need to be investigated. They firstly need to not be judges anymore. So you need to have a president of Ireland and somebody who's going to come into leadership who's not afraid to offend people. In fact, I have to be honest, one of my favourite things is actually to call out the bullshit and to offend people. So if people don't sort things back in Ireland fairly quickly, I swear to God, I'll come back myself and be president. I'm not even joking. Two words, political pedigree, of course, as the great grandniece of Michael Collins. But seriously, they need to sort out a huge amount of things. The major problem is the housing problem. But the biggest problem to me is the judicial system. I think it's just shockingly bad. I think the police couldn't catch COVID. I feel like there are good detectives and I feel like they need to be given more resources and a huge amount of resources put behind the police in Ireland, because at the moment there's major problems and it's only going to get worse. They're also letting in all these sexual offenders from Eastern Europe, from other countries that have no business being in Ireland. They're undocumented, they're unvetted, and we have enough of our own weirdos in the country as well. So I think there's a real problem with the judicial system. And I think as well, the next president of Ireland will actually have to use their influence to deal with that and to actually speak up. And again, Michael D is cute with his dog. Bless, he supports the arts. That's not what we need right now. Cute is not going to cut it. What we need is a badass motherfucker leader who's going to come in, really sort things out. And the judicial system is a complete mess. The policing is a complete mess. They need far more resources. That needs to be completely overhauled. There needs to be standard sentences as well for sexual offenders. And there's certain crimes as well. Annie McCarrick, that needs to be solved. It's very simple. There's other people missing as well. Eva Brennan. It's so patronated. I'll tell you something. Annie McCarrick lived about 400 yards from Tesco. Eva Brennan lived 400 yards from Tesco. You know, there's other people went missing from car parks, Tesco's. At the time, they were Quinsworth or crazy prices. So, you know, it's quite obvious that the person involved was probably a tradesman working at Tesco Crazy Prices, Quinsworth, which was sold to Tesco. So yes, with regard to the presidents of Ireland, if everyone doesn't grow up and cop on, I swear to God, it'll be Dr. Botox for president. I'll come back and I'll sort the country out. It won't even take me 7 years. So that's it from me. You're listening to Diary of a Botox Bitch with me, Dr. Botox, Dr. Danielle Collins. And yes, I am the great grandniece of Michael Collins. So two words, political pedigree. As I said, the things that need to be sorted out is housing. Then there is the whole situation with the judicial system. It's a nightmare. They can't continue to let more criminals into the country when they can't even, the police force don't even have the capacity to deal with their own criminals. And then the third thing I was going to mention, not that big a deal, but in fact, you know, we'll mention that in the next episode. Okay, that's it for me now. Dr. Botox, over and out, coming to you live from downtown.
I know it's exactly what you've been waiting for, so let's do this.
Welcome to the segment we call Bo Talks. Let's talk all things Botox, filler and skincare.